Welcome to game two of the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs between the Winnipeg Jets and the Colorado Avalanche. That's a 1-0 series lead. I'm Jamie Thomas, along with Sarah Oleski. Welcome to Ground Control Live, as we get you set for tonight's game here at Canada Life. Before we get into what's going to happen here today, let us remind you, our viewers and listeners, that we are giving away a game pack here this afternoon. We'll give you the code word a little bit later in the broadcast, but it's a lot of fun. We gave away a jersey last time. It's the Ground Control giveaway. Stay tuned for your chance to win. So thank you so much for tuning in. And of course, this is all about you. We want to hear from you as this goes along. We'll give you the question of the day here momentarily as well. So we would be crazy if we didn't talk about game number one, because, well, like, it was 7-6, Sarah. I felt we were back in 1985 in the Smite division with the Flames and the Jets, the Oilers and the Flames, the Oilers and the Jets. It was nuts at Canada Life Center. 6 goals in the first, 6 goals in the third period, only 1 in the second, but the Jets come out on top 7-6. What do you take away from the experience of game number one?
I thought when you said that it felt like 1985 to you, you were meaning Chicago and Detroit. I thought you were teeing me up perfectly, because that was actually the last time that we saw at least 13 goals scored in a game combined. So certainly tons to be able to talk about out of this game. Jamie, I think that you and I would be able to discuss this game for this entire next 30 minutes as we get you ready for game two. As we look back, you look at the shots, you look at just all of the action that we saw on the ice, the atmosphere. Let's talk about that a little bit, because if people were able to watch it on TV, a tremendous atmosphere. You saw it inside, you saw it outside as well. I was able to take a walk around everyone, the costumes. I don't know if you would be one, Jamie, that would dress up if you were going to an event, but the dedication that Winnipeg Jets fans have shown is truly remarkable. We saw some wonderful costumes that were out there. Everyone from jackets that were not only bedazzled but had blinking lights on them, to people in bathrobes, fur coats, you name it. But it was a tremendous atmosphere that was out there, and just so many of the different storylines that we thought about heading into this game came to fruition. I don't think that either coach is going to want to see a 7-6 game happen again, but certainly for Winnipeg Jets fans, they got their money's worth in this one here on Sunday night.
Thank you, Sarah. I apologize. I was having issues hearing things. So thank you to Daniel Moss throwing his headphones to me.
Have you already tuned me out?
Yeah, I have. Like, no offense. Yeah.
That's fantastic. We haven't even gotten to game two, and you are already, you know, I get enough of this at home. I don't know whether or not I need a co-host here to also be tuning me out. No, that's absolutely fine. Well, I had wonderful comments, Jamie.
My face is as red as your jacket right now. That's all.
Actually, it is.
It is. I can feel it. I'm beaming through the screen here. Yes. It's my first day on the job, everybody. I know exactly what I'm doing, but thank you so much for tap dancing, as we say in the business. So I hope what Sarah said was informative and as fun as it looked like, because she looked like she's on her game right now. But have we got to the Pat McAfee clip yet, Sarah?
We have not. But actually, so before, now that you can hear me, I didn't want to talk about this before. After games, one of the great things is that after a win, we on Home Games, we're going to send Jamie Thomas out.
I like how you say we. I thought you were going to say we are going to go out in the street, but obviously it's just me that's going out in the street.
That's
so
right.
The funny part about all this, Sarah, is a lot of people have been giving me compliments about how great the video was. I did zero work. I just stuck a microphone in people's faces, and look at these willing participants. Like, these guys, these girls were fantastic. This guy was the best. Like, this guy was my favorite part. I wish I would have asked him his name, but the story about him talking to somebody beside him and asking if he can high five because they're a little concerned about the game and the result, it was great stuff. So thank you so much to everybody out in the street. Should the Jets win again here this evening, I again will be out in the street. And yes, I love you too, man.
Him.
Yeah.
That's right. look for JT out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be a great, but no, we have not gotten to Pat McAfee. I know you are a big Pat McAfee fan, so I'm
going
to let you tee this one up.
So You know, I wrote a story about the whiteout, how the recognition it gets nationally. Of course, everyone in our great country knows about the whiteout here in Winnipeg, going back to 1987 with Jets 1.0. It gets national recognition. Now we got a little bit of international recognition. So thank you very much, Lori, for a great compliment. Make sure you keep your compliments coming, or comments, not so much compliments, if you have other things to say besides compliments about how great Sarah is. We have enough of that already. But anyways, going back to Pat McAfee. So international recognition about the whiteout. So Pat McAfee has a great show. It's on YouTube. He's on ESPN down south the border. The Jets whiteout, and you, our fans, getting the recognition that you deserve. Take a look.
Talk about the NBA and the NHL weekend that was. Home teams 14-0 in the NBA and the NHL. Now, there was a game in Winnipeg.
Oh, my God.
That was fantastic. In Winnipeg, I couldn't even... If there was an empty map of Canada, okay, and they said, Pat, go ahead and pin this particular whatever, Mountie, a mount horse. Yeah. Pin this horse.
Got 100 chances.
Pin this 100. And it's big, so there's a lot of different options. Exactly. Where the leg of the horse isn't going to take up a city, and then the shoulder is going to be in another city. I have to actually, I could not guess for the life of me where the hell it is, but I do know it's a place I would like to be one time. Uh-huh. That barn last night.
Yeah.
Was fantastic. Colorado, obviously, Stanley Cup chance, or Golden Knights Stanley Cup chance.
Thank
Colorado
you, Master. We don't need to talk about that. Yeah.
You're talking about a very good team in the Western. Look at this place going bananas. Full whiteout, full commitment, full banana home place environment. And it was like that all weekend, it felt like.
Yeah, that's, I mean, full commitment. I think if people don't understand how great Winnipeg Jet fans are at this time of year, I think that recognition that Pat McAfee gave the city and certainly the fans here and the building itself was well-deserved. So a bigger round of applause to our Jets fans who brought that recognition upon ourselves. So Pat McAfee wearing a jersey today, right?
Yes.
Yes.
He is on. He has already stated he is on. He is a fan of the Winnipeg Jets now. He is going to hopefully be all in. There you go. I'm on the Jets. Love to see it.
Talking to PK Subban, who knows a little bit about playing here, got booed mercilessly as a member of the Nashville Predators in 2018. So there it is.
Which leads in perfectly to our question of the day. Look at you, an unintentional segue.
Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for a little while. You may or may not know.
We couldn't tell earlier, but that's okay.
The technology is not my thing.
It's not mine either.
Let's go to the question of the day as we lead into our prize pack giveaway. To you, our fans, which game was louder or had the better atmosphere? The 2018 conference finals, or sorry, not conference finals, second round. Against the Nashville Predators, Game 3, the Jets were down 3-0 here in this building, came back to win that one 7-4, or 2024 Game 1 versus the Colorado Avalanche. So just answer, there are no wrong answers to this one. Tell us about that. I will get the code word for you momentarily, and you will get yourself a nice prize pack that we will give away before the end of the show. Like we will be told who the winner is. We'll pass it along to you before the end of the show. So that prize pack coming along, code word coming in. So again, question of the day, what was louder, had the better atmosphere? Game 3, 2018 versus Nashville, or Game 1, 2024 versus the Colorado Avalanche? Val already weighing in the 2024 game. It was fantastic. So let's move along while you guys take part of this. The link will be in the show here or in the chat here momentarily. Let's go to the morning skate update, Sarah. The Jets, a full skate today. They had an optional yesterday, so not many players taking part. And I think that's understood as what we saw on the ice in game number one. I think everybody deserved a break. You know, I think what we can take from it is it was a relaxed group and, you know, feeling very confident in themselves. I mean, that's not the way they drew up. Clearly, that's the common refrain between from the players and the coaching staff. But if you win a 7-6 game, that's great because the game was incredibly entertaining. And if you can walk out of the building with the first win in the series, I think you're all right with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And no surprise that we saw so many out on the ice today for the morning skate. And hopefully nobody came out with injuries after the last game, at least nothing that we heard about. So when you look at what the lines are going to be tonight, or what we are anticipating for the lines, we aren't thinking that we're going to see any changes for it. And I don't think that that should be any surprise right now. As we discussed going into game one, there is so much depth on this team with a healthy roster right now, short of Morgan Barron, of course, who we're hoping is going to be able to be back soon, that the coaching staff has a number of options. But with the way that things went in that first game, no surprise that we're going to see, I think, the same lines here tonight. One of the players that made an impact in that game, and there were many, as we mentioned, when you have a combined 13 goals and 7 goals scored, Brendan Dillon, 2 assists, 3 hits, a team leading +3, played over just under 21 and a half minutes. Now, here's a picture from him post game. So this was not from today, but I wanted to show this. So, this is what struck me about it. And I
what is that, Sarah?
To Darren Drager for pointing this out. He asked me, he goes, look, he's standing on his toes. He stood on his toes, or without his heel touching at least, for the entire post game scrum that he did after game one for it. So I asked Brendan today whether or not this was something that he usually did, because this won't shock you, I'm not spending most time looking at people's feet. But he said that he had no idea that he did that. So I was joking with him, and that Darren Drager and I were saying that maybe that's why he's got the calves that he has, and that maybe it's something the rest of us should start looking into. But
I mean, look at those calves.
4 or 5 minutes of the scrum just stood just with those heels hovering the whole time. So just a little bit of a different thing that I noticed the other day that I wanted to make mention of. But today, when he was doing a little bit of media availability, but when we went into the room, and I felt, I don't know if you did, that there were even more media here today than what there were in game one. I don't know whether or not people were flying in for this one after seeing what the atmosphere was like on
Sunday.
They're
like, I want a part of that.
100%. Why wouldn't you? But Nikolai Ehlers and Dylan DeMello both speaking with the media today in front of the backdrop. And no surprise, when you look at a lot of the themes of the conversations about playing in the whiteout, Dylan DeMello being asked about facing Nathan MacKinnon, obviously DeMello and Josh Morrissey as that pairing, seeing a lot of Nathan MacKinnon's line. But everyone seemed to be in such a good mood. Again, you won game one. Why wouldn't you be in a great mood? But it just seemed that there was an ease in that room today, that people are very focused, but it was a great atmosphere inside there.
Yeah, I think everybody, Nikolai Ehlers talking about he hadn't jumped that high for a first goal in a game since 2019. So that goes back to his original comment, Sarah, that he hadn't played in a whiteout since 2019, that opening round series against the St. Louis Blues. So he was excited about Dylan DeMello. Obviously, was asked about dealing with Nathan MacKinnon, because that defense pairing with him and Josh Morrissey will see a lot of the Avalanche star forward. Asked about what it was like dealing with him, and he said he thought he had him at one moment in the game yesterday, then he blew by him. So that just goes to show you the strength and speed that Nathan MacKinnon has, even all the times that Dylan DeMello has faced the Colorado Avalanche centerman. So a lot of confidence, but they understand there's a lot of work to be done here. But a lot of fun was had, especially when you win that first game the way that they did.
Absolutely. One of those goals coming from Vladislav Namestnikov. One of my absolute favorites. I think, and you and I have had this discussion many times, that he is an underrated player on this team, not only for what he can do on the ice, as we've seen him throughout his time as a Winnipeg Jet, be moved up and down throughout the lineup, both and change positions as well, but not only what he does on the ice, but off the ice. He is such a great interview. Really enjoy having the opportunity to speak to him. And I caught up with him, about an hour ago. Such a memorable first game in this series, obviously, with a combined 13 goals. You look at your team, 7 goals. You scored one of them. Your reaction, I loved. I thought it was outstanding. What is it like to score not only a playoff goal, but a playoff goal in this sort of atmosphere?
It's really hard to explain in words. There's so many emotions going through your head, and honestly, I kind of blacked out there in the group when we were celebrating. So, the building was electric. The fans were great, and it was just a great overall day to get that win.
How difficult is it after a game like that, with the emotions, the adrenaline going, to settle down and call it a night?
Yeah, it's very hard, but I mean that's part of the game. So, you go home, get some food in you, and try to get some sleep. So that's all we can do.
There are areas that both teams are going to want to clean up. I don't think any coach is hoping for a 7-6 final in this. Again, when you look at your in particular, what is it that you feel you guys need to do in order to manage the game a bit and help control some of Colorado's attack?
Yeah, I think we spend too much time in our zone. And I think that comes from not forechecking good enough. And I think we can hem them in their zone and go from there. So I think we did our research, we did our video, and we're ready to go for game 2.
What is the key to trying to manage the speed that they have and staying on top of them?
Just try skating with them. I mean, we can skate as well. So we have good players in this room, and we're comfortable, and we're ready to go.
Looking forward to it. Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
personality. So he's got a smile on his face, and he's one of those players that you can always, you can speak to him and get a lot from talking to him, whether it be after a win or after a loss as well. And that isn't always the case with all players, as some aren't able to provide the same sort of perspective. And so always great to be able to have him on. Let's talk a little bit about some of the storylines that we've got coming up for game two, because it's hard to believe we're already 17 and a half minutes into this. So
yeah,
actually, before we get going for it, do we want to give the password for the contest maybe right now, so that we give people the opportunity, because you do not want to miss out on it. As you saw up top, the ground control giveaway, today's prize, the playoff game day prize pack.
Let me tell you what is in there. The best.
Yes.
Tickets, as Sarah just said.
Two tickets for tonight's game. You get to come join us here. Experience the whiteout inside Canada Life Center.
Tickets, as Sarah said, a whiteout t-shirt, playoff cap, and a round one puck. Those all can be yours. The link is in the chat here. And the code word today is, I know you're going to be surprised. Bring it up, Monster. Or do I just say it? There it is. Whiteout. Everybody can come. You can come join us in the whiteout. That is the password for today's ground control giveaway. Tickets for tonight's game, a whiteout t-shirt, a hat, and a round one puck there with the other team's logo there, and the Winnipeg Jets and the Stanley Cup. We don't need to talk about it. The link is in the chat, Sandy. Don't worry about it. It should be a little bit further up around 12:43. They had put it up, so just take a look in there. Click on that, give the code word, and you could win that ground control giveaway. We will do that before the end of the show. So on to the aforementioned chat about tonight's storyline, Sarah. So why do you want to kick things off for us?
Let's do it. Let's talk about cleaning things up.
Yeah.
I don't think either coach is going to want to see a combined 13 goals scored in this game. And you know that Rick Bowness spoke even after the game about how obviously you will take a win whenever you get one. It wasn't exactly, he said, how we drew it up, but if that's the way it goes, that's the way it goes. We were resilient tonight, but he spoke about puck management and needing to clean things up in all three zones. And I think when you look at from the Colorado standpoint, so they did a lot of good things. They put up 46 shots against Connor Hellebuyck. We know the way that they came out of the gate, getting that 11-1 shot lead right away, scoring that first goal, although the lead didn't last long, but getting that dominating early on in that game. But they had costly mistakes, and it seemed that giveaways, you and I were sitting beside each other watching that game, giveaways were a big theme going in, especially in that front half of the game, and it proved costly. So I think both sides are really going to want to tighten things up going into tonight.
Yeah, I think there's no question about that. And then this storyline will not change. Like, I think everybody is watching this right now. This is going to be a common refrain as we go along. However long this first round series goes, goaltending will be the story night in and night out. So you look at Connor Hellebuyck. He faced 46 shots on Sunday night. That's the fourth time in his career he's faced 40 more shots in the postseason. He's 3-1 in those games, including winning the other night. And he said that was one of the sweatiest games he's ever played in. And I think that goes to show you how busy it was. It was hot in the building because of how many people were there. And just think, if this goes a little further on, this Winnipeg Jets playoff drive, how hot the building will be a little bit later on. But he was clearly the better goaltender. Alexander Georgiev, I don't think you can fault him on probably 5 of the 7, but I think, the Colorado Avalanche players and Jared Bednar, did admit could have made a save or two. And that's what you need from your goaltender at this time of year. Connor Hellebuyck provided that. As crazy as things got towards the end, Connor Hellebuyck was tremendous in the net for the Winnipeg Jets in game number one, and clearly the better goaltender of the two.
Yeah, Georgiev said afterwards that, he's going to watch some videos, feels it will come, have to stay positive. They're only down 1-0 in this series. But you also look at the struggles that he had had in the back half of the season. In his final 6 starts, he had allowed 29 goals. So that's certainly, you and I keyed in on goaltending on both sides going into game one. That obviously proved to be a huge storyline, and it will be again here going into game two as we look to see how Colorado responds with it. Special teams. Oh, that was another thing that you and I had spoken about as well. And the penalty kill is an area that the Winnipeg Jets are going to want to tighten up.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when you give up 2 power play goals on 2 opportunities, that first off, you're thrilled with only taking 2 penalties. And Rick Bowness you know, gave a compliment to the officials for game number one. They let the two teams play. There was a lot of extracurricular stuff going on. There was a lot of extra hitting going on, but the refs let them play. And a game like that, that's what you want to see. So to your point about the power or the penalty kill, you know, a couple, Cale Makar got a shot that came through. You'd like to see him challenged a little bit more, especially at the blue line. You don't want him to have a clear shot or that opportunity to get that shot through. But these are just the little tinkers that the Jets have to improve upon to be a better team in game number two and to help them out and try and take a new 2-0 series lead.
Absolutely. I just want to, I'm looking through the comments. I'm trying to pay attention to what you're saying.
No, don't listen to me. You listen to me talk all the time. Yeah,
but I do.
Or you can just mute your microphone like I do a little earlier in the show. But go ahead. Yes.
That whiteout is the password for people that are looking it in, because you do want to join us here tonight for game two. The building will be electric. Colorado is, they still have their scratches on the ice right now behind me as I'm trying to take a look. But they were on the ice. They got off probably about 15 minutes ago from their skate. So we're waiting to see it. We'll have to keep an eye out. We've been trying to check X, formerly known as Twitter, to see whether or not there's any updates for it. But unless Sam Girard was able to come into the lineup, I don't know whether or not we're really going to see any lineup changes for the Colorado Avalanche, because you do look building blocks for this team. As much as, you know, they didn't come out with the win, if you put up 6 goals on the Winnipeg Jets, you should be able, in theory, to win that game. So they did see a lot of things that they liked from there. And especially you think of some of the zone entries that they were able to get on this Winnipeg team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they scored more goals on Sunday night than they had in the previous 3 meetings in the regular season. Barry, quickly, I'll answer. Will Barron be back? He will not be back for game number 2. Morgan Barron has not skated yet, so sounds unlikely even for game number 3 at this point. But further to the Colorado Avalanche, I think we all, like, there's no question, Sarah, with the way they played in that last game of the regular season, the 7-0 loss in Denver, I think everybody knew inside the building, including the fans, that Colorado was going to come out the way that they did. They outshot Winnipeg 11-1 by the time they had made it 1-0 on Valerie Nichushkin's goal in the first period. I think you expected all that. You also didn't expect them just to roll over when it was 6-3 and then 7-4, and you saw that. So, I mean, Rick Bowness repeatedly has said since the end of the game number one yesterday and today, he kept saying how much he gave the Colorado Avalanche credit for playing the game that they did, because they at points were taking it to the Winnipeg Jets, but the Jets resilient, ended up with the game number one victory.
Yes. Yeah, you look at a number of the storylines that it going into in terms of matchups, knew that Rick Bowness was going to go hard on the matchups. He said that leading into the game, and he did. And so you've got to figure out where, from an Avalanche standpoint, where are they going to be able to not only try to get the edge, but who's going to step up for them? You know, the Nathan MacKinnon line obviously was able to produce last game, and you know that they're going to continue. You try to contain them, you're not going to be able to fully stop them. But one player that you have had your eye on and that you think needs to be a difference maker or have an impact in this series is going to be Casey Mittelstadt, who was acquired from the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that the Colorado Avalanche have been scrambling since they lost Nazem Kadri to free agency to the Calgary Flames after they won the Stanley Cup in 2022. They have tried multiple people at that second line center. Now it feels like they have a kid in Casey Mittelstadt that can do just that. He still has a lot more years on his contract left, but he is the number 2 center for, and got the goal in his NHL playoff debut. Clearly, when you're in the playoff-less area known as the Buffalo Sabres in the National Hockey League, this would be your NHL debut. But Casey Mittelstadt will be counted on heavily for the Avalanche, because I thought we saw everything you expected from the top line. They got some production from their third line as well. But Casey Mittelstadt will be a key for the Colorado Avalanche as this series wears along, because they got the goal. But keep in mind, the Jets scored 7 times and their second line didn't score any goals. And I felt like the Nikolai Ehlers, Sean Monahan, and Tyler Toffoli unit was produced some good scoring chances. They're going to have a part to play in this one. So Casey Mittelstadt in the second line of the Avalanche will be integral to their success as this goes along.
Yes, he will. And we'll wait to see what sort of impact he could have tonight. I love reading through all of these comments that everybody has.
Go ahead.
Right now.
Let's hear from them.
Well, I love how excited everybody is for this and hearing about people that were able to make it to game one or able to take part that had never been there before. Joan thinks that nerves got to the boys early on, she says, but they are on a roll. Someone else, and I'm sorry, I can't find it exactly who it was in here, had asked about whether or not we're going to be doing these for games 3 and 4 as well, live. And we are.
Yes.
Of course we are. So especially when you look at Sunday's game, game 4, nice and early. I called it the pajama show because in Denver, I will be in Denver, you'll be here. It'll be early that we're doing it. We will make sure that we will let everybody know well in advance of what time it is going to be, because we want to make sure that you join us on Sunday as well. I actually saw someone yesterday in a bathrobe, or on Sunday in a bathrobe here, in a white bathrobe. And I was talking with Eric Howardchak is here in town. And so I was
Son
chatting
of.
With him. Yes. Son of course, Dale Howardchak. And he was absolutely thrilled with the environment was. He couldn't get over how great it was. But he said that he saw someone sitting in a white bathrobe. Said, nobody even gave it a second glance. And I said, no, I'd see the same
it's just
person,
normal.
I believe. It's just
normal. It's normal behavior.
As long as you are wearing white, that is what everybody cares about. So no problem, Laurie. Happy that we were able to answer that question for you quickly before going. Just finally, the pressure that for the Colorado Avalanche on this one, and I want to say both maybe literally and figuratively, being able to keep that pressure on Winnipeg, being able to get on top of them, utilizing that speed. We know the speed that Nathan MacKinnon has, how quickly he's able to get those bursts out there and the challenge that it can be. You spoke about how Dylan DeMello was talking about that all of a sudden you think that he's here and then he gets by you. So I think that they need to keep the pressure on Winnipeg. They did a good job of limiting them in terms of the shots that they had, but then figuratively the pressure as well, because you don't want to go down 2-0, even though you're going home. You don't want to go down 2-0 to the Winnipeg Jets as you go back to Denver for later on this week.
Oh, great comment here from Dennis. Eric, Ducky's son, Howardchak. That's a perfect nickname for Derek.
That.
There. Thank you, Monster, for throwing that up. Sean says, good luck, everyone. Great opportunity to see the boys run over Colorado. No one does hockey like Winnipeg, from Michael. That is pretty much what we need to do and tell you guys. You guys are all caught up. There was a question a little bit earlier about Nate Schmidt. There are no changes to the lineup. It will remain the same. So Logan Stanley and Dylan Sandberg will remain that third defense pairing for the Winnipeg Jets as they get set for game 2 against Colorado, leading the series 1-0. So one order of business before we take care of this. You thought I was going to forget, didn't you? I could tell you jumped me.
I
was going to forget. So you give away the prize. Please go ahead. I'll sit back. I'll watch. I'll wait. You
drum
have
roll.
This.
Drum roll, please. The winner is Darlene Patterson.
Darlene.
Make sure to check your email. We will get all of the information and the tickets sent your way. Congratulations, Darlene. You have won tickets and more to tonight, game 2 between the Winnipeg Jets and the Colorado Avalanche. We know that Winnipeg Sports Talk is just starting or just about to start as well, where
1:00.
You know that Huss is going to have even more as he sets you up for this game. There's so much excitement for it. So make sure you tune over there as well and join in the conversation with Huss and with Remus too.
Oh, look at the fans. Like, congratulating Darlene. Nobody's a poor sport here. Thank you to all our viewers being good sports. Darlene is the prize winner. We have plenty more to give away as the playoffs continue. We'll be back for game 3, which is on Friday, I believe. There's a 2-day break between. You'll be there. Sarah will be in Denver. I promise you it's on Friday. It's in my head.
Jamie may
watching.
Or may not be joining us. We're not sure.
I can't hear you.
Enjoy game 2, everyone.